Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons that you teach us. We thank you for the ability to learn and to become drawn nearer to you. Lord, I pray that as I bring forth your message this morning, that it truly will be your message and not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Both of our scriptures this morning reference selfishness, greed, part of human nature. I once had a person say to me, and I quote, "What we have, God has given us, and God can also take it all away from us." End of quote. In the parable that we heard this morning, I think Luke shares that very thought with us. This parable is about monetary greed. But there are all types of greed in the world that we live in. Greed of wanting to be the best, and so we take credit for something that may not have been our idea, or take credit for doing the work that someone else did so that we can make ourselves look good. Greed of food. The parable this morning talked about food. Us feeding our bodies with excess foods while there are people who are starving. Last week I was walking up to Epworth Manor and I saw a young man sleeping on the concrete. On my way back, he was still there, so I stopped to talk to him and I asked him if there was anything he needed, and he said no. And I said, "Are you sure you're okay?" And he said, "Well, I'm a little hungry." We don't think about those who live without the ability to have food to nourish their bodies like we so often do. There is greed of love. A person becoming so possessive of another person because they desire to have them love them in return that it often becomes harmful to that person. See, greed is any decision we have to take something from someone else that could benefit ourselves. It's about wanting more of what we already have when there are others who do not have. Greed also falls under one of the things that Paul is telling the church in Colossae that they need to get rid of. They need to put it to death. if Christ is the Lord of their lives. Now, that isn't the only characteristic that Paul tells them that must die. He tells them, you need to put to death whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. And he goes on to tell them that there are more things that they need to get rid of in their life if they are truly living their lives for Jesus. He goes on to say, now you must get rid of such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. You know, when we think of death, often we think of earthly death, and it brings sadness to us. But truly, if someone is in Jesus Christ, it should bring a smile to our faces and a peace to our hearts to know that they are no longer living in sin, but now are rejoicing in purity with the Lord. But the scripture that we heard this morning is talking about our time here on earth. It isn't talking about what will be after we pass from this place. It's telling us that when we confess our sin and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are to die to ourselves, because we are to be made new in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't anything for us to do. It doesn't mean that when we accept Jesus Christ that all of a sudden everything that goes against God is taken away from us, and everything that is of God, everything good, prevails in our lives. If only it were that easy. We will find that God will convict us of our sin, and when he convicts us, if we give it to him, he'll remove that from our lives. And I can assure you of that, because that has happened to me time and time again. When we know that there are things in our lives that do not align with Jesus, we must give them to God and allow him to remove them from us. But here's the thing, we have to completely surrender it. We have to allow it to die in order that something new can come into its place. To allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives in a way that aligns us more with Jesus Christ. And the more our lives align with Jesus, the more that we will live for him. And the more that we live for him, the more that we are transformed in him, in his image, that will show us how it is that we are to live. How it is that his love and his grace is filling us in a way that we can share that love and that grace with others. So the first thing that needs to happen is we need to shift our mindset. We need to shift our mindset from who we were before Christ became part of our lives to who we need to be in Christ. And that is very difficult to do. We live in this new creation, and yet we live in the world that surrounds us. Often, when someone goes into rehabilitation for alcohol or drugs, one thing that they are told is it is best not to go back to that same environment that they were in, because they often will go back to those old ways. Well, God doesn't tell us that. He doesn't say, you'll be made a new creation in Christ, and I want you to move out of that area so that you don't fall back into those old ways. Because you know what? We can never escape ourselves. But he calls us to be this new creation, to live in this world that we live in a way that will show others who Christ can be for them as well. That in this new creation, we grow in our faith and we realize that God is constantly breaking through into the evils of this world. God breaks through the hearts of people who feel as if they have no hope. He breaks through hearts of unforgiveness when forgiveness seems impossible. He breaks through hearts of hatred so that he can sow seeds of love. He breaks down barriers of discrimination by allowing us to see that every person has value in his eyes. He breaks down those outer shells of pride so that we can be humbled before him. You know, as we read the letters of Paul, we see that Paul never pulls any punches, does he? It doesn't matter what church he is writing to, whether he's writing to the church in Rome or the church in Philippi or the church in Colossae. He tells it like it is. And this morning, as we heard the words that Joyce read to us, we hear Paul telling this community, this transformed community in union with the risen Lord, who is known as the church, that greed is not only an individual sin, but it is a community sin as well. So if we here at Wesley United Methodist Church are in Christ, then we should be a new creation, both in our individual lives and in our corporate lives as well. Our lives should be based on the things that are above. They should be based on the will of God for who he is calling us to be. It should be based on the values and the practices and the examples that Christ has given us time and time again through the scriptures. It should be the guidance of the Holy Spirit living in our lives that draw us nearer to God and pull us away from the things of this world. So what does that look like? Well, it means that if we're a follower of Jesus, then we are committed to being part of the body of Christ. That we are saying that we want to be more like Jesus and that we want to join him in ministry. Remember, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And so it's about coming together, remembering that we are all unique. If you look around the congregation, not one of us looks the same and not one of us thinks the same. But it's being able to come together because we are the body of Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit to do the work that God is calling us to. Now, wouldn't it be really nice if God had just given us an instruction sheet to say, this is all you have to do. Read this instruction sheet and follow it. You will be the perfect disciple and you will make disciples. Oh, if it were only that easy. But you know what? Discipleship is a personal journey. And none of us are on that same place in our journey. And yet we are called to journey together. No matter whether we have not yet accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, or whether we have just accepted him and stepped onto that path, or whether we accepted Christ 70 years ago, you and I are in this together. And not only you and I, but all of those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior is part of the body of Christ. And so being a part of the body of Christ means that we live like Christ. It means that we open our lives to live a life of worship and a life of hospitality. We come together on Sunday mornings in corporate worship so that we can go out from this place to live our own lives in personal worship. But we're strengthened by one another. We are uplifted and held together because of who we are as the body of Christ. But how is it that we live our lives when we walk out of this place? Are we living lives of new creation? See, here in the church, we live these lives that welcome new people among us. But when we go out from this place, are we intentional about building relationships with people, with those who are not yet here? Because that's what it means to be a disciple. Being a disciple is we make a commitment. We make a commitment to Jesus to open ourselves to spiritual practices, practices such as prayer, reading and studying God's word, confession, fasting. Those are just a few that we make a commitment to. We make a commitment to live our lives in a life of service, supporting the ministries of our local church, but it doesn't stop there. It means serving beyond the walls of the church to help care for the needs of those people in our community and the people in the world. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we live lives of generosity, both to God's house and to others. Sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record, and as God was leading me to write this message, I was like, God, I think I've already said all of this. And it was almost as if God spoke to me and said, but y'all need to hear it again. And I thought, okay, that had to come from God because I would never say y'all. So we all need to hear it again. I also very strongly believe in the part of God had, the message God has for us today, in greed in the church. There is an organization called Pew Research that does research just strictly on churches throughout the world. And it talks about the reason people are not attending church. And one of those reasons is people look to see how the people who attend church live their lives outside of the church. They also look at how it is that the church itself gives back to its community. I think as United Methodists, and I know we have guests here today, and I don't know if they're United Methodists, but I think as United Methodists, oftentimes what we say is, well, you know what, we give our monies back to conference. Those monies go to help other people. They go to help people in the world. They go to help people who have a need. And we give a lot of money to conference. So I decided that I was going to do some research on looking at other mainline denominations. And believe it or not, all mainline denominations pay monies to a conference. Now, it may not be called a conference in that particular church because they have different names, but as I spoke to different pastors, it's all the same thing. So first I decided to look at a large church of another denomination in another state. This church began as a church plant. It became out of their conference, out of their convention, as it's called, in 2006. It started with 121 people. It has now grown to having 18 locations. It has given more than $10 million to missions and over 102,000 hours a year of working with people in their community in conjunction with the mayor. Now you may say, well, that's easy enough when you have enough people to fill 18 locations, but remember, they started with 121 people. So I decided that I would do this research a little closer to home, the same denomination of a little church not far from here. This church worships an average of 50 people. They give their monies to their conference as well, which was explained to me are used for mission, retired pastors, partners in ministries, monies to help pastors in need, and general staff. Very much what a lot of our shares of ministry go to that we pay to conference. This particular church explained that giving these monies is an obedience to tithing as God has instructed them. However, they believe, and I will quote what they told me, in going to the edges in their giving, which is more than obedience to just a tithe. End of quote. Every Sunday, they put 10% of their offering in a benevolent fund to help people in need. They take 15% of their offerings and put it in a building fund, which takes care of their building. Approximately 30% of their monies go back into their community, and the rest are used for everyday operations and paying their shares. They also take up two special offerings a year. One is called a domestic offering, and that is used for things such as hurricanes, tornadoes, flood. And so in the last 3 years, this little congregation of 50 people have given $10,000 each year to a domestic cause. They also take up a second special offering, which is called a special gift. 1 year, the monies were used to help a family who was going to lose their farm, that is their livelihood. And they said the reason that they helped this farm was because the two main persons who worked that farm both had severe health issues that year that kept them out of the farm for months. Last year, they sent $5,000 to the Dominican Republic to buy a school van, and this year they're sending $5,000 to help stop sex trafficking in the U.S. Their thought process is that they believe by going to the edges, God blesses them abundantly. Now, I have to tell you, as I was having the conversation, the pastor said to me, this wasn't my way of thinking when I came here. But the people in this church have helped me grow so much in my faith, as they have helped change my mindset of what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. She said, and I quote, I went there to lead and teach them, but they have taught me that in giving, there is no plan B. Everything is in the mindset of how we give to God. End of quote. Now, I am not sharing this with you to say to you, oh, I want you to open your wallets wider. I'm sharing this with you because I think we need to question what our mindset is in serving God. We serve a mighty and awesome God, and yet we tend to put him in our small minds of thinking. We tend to look and think, well, this is how it should be, instead of saying, how is it that God would want it to be? I read one time, and I don't remember the name of the book or the author, so I couldn't pull it out to get the exact quote, but the quote was something to like this. When the church moves out into the community to do ministry, the people will follow you back into the church. And that only happens when our minds are set on God. When our minds are set on the things above and where it is that God is calling us to be His church. See, we're so used to just Sunday morning coming into this particular building, having an hour of worship, and then leaving this place. Maybe coming back for a Bible study during the week, once school starts, maybe attending a Sunday school class. But my friends, God has so much more for us. So much more. And so we need to ask ourselves, are our minds set on the things that are above, or are they set on the things of earth? Amen.